Really happy this morning to have Manny Mercado, not sure how you say it, from the Reading area. He's a pastor in the Shiloh congregation, and he has consented, come on up, friend Manny. He's consented to bring the morning message this morning. Following that, Camp Andrews and Third Watch Discipling Ministries should be prepared to come and share after Manny's message. Manny, come, let me pray for you.
Please.
Father, thank you for this, your servant, who has consented to serve you in this way this morning. God, I pray that your anointing would fall upon him, that the words that you want this congregation to hear would form on his lips, and that you would minister your grace and your mercy and your message upon this congregation this morning for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, brother. Good morning. How's everybody feeling today? I am excited to be here, and I hope that my PowerPoint works. And if it don't, we're going to keep going, right? I got to make sure I got all the hookups. This. That's all right. Praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. And I was just excited. I am grateful for the invitation for me to be here this morning. And I can't remember the last time I was here. I was talking to my wife, and I was like, I was there for something up here, and I can't remember for what. And then she reminded me, I think I was sharing about Arrows Christian Academy. It's a Christian school in the city of Reading that opened up about 3 years ago. I was looking back to confirm with my wife, but she's not there. It's about 3 years ago. I lose track of time, but I want to thank you guys for your at least spiritual support, because the school has been running and people's lives are being transformed. Parents are excited because their children are actually learning, and most importantly, it's built on a foundation that is worthy. And so I just want to thank you guys for the opportunity to bring light into the great things that God is doing in our context, because he is moving. And I just want to set my alarm here so that, you know, we don't go too far off track. So I want to make sure I do that. But yeah, I'm excited. When I hear of missions, it just does something in my heart. You know what I'm saying? And just listening to all these different opportunities, you know, all these organizations that started with visions, but behind those visions, it was the Holy Spirit just prompting man to motion. And so as I was listening to all these, I'm like, man, I want to go, like, send me. And I hope that resonates with you guys, you know, just idea of being sent. So yeah, my name is Manny, and it's Mercado. But it's all right. Jaime, you could probably say it, right? Where's Jaime? Go ahead, say it. Mercado, my Puerto Rican man. I'm excited to be here. I've been looking forward to joining you guys in worship, because we're a body of Christ. And when I come here or whenever I go somewhere, I love to come and say, how is the Spirit of God moving? And how is it fresh where he leads me? And so I'm excited to grow and to learn and to be ministered by the Holy Spirit through what he's depositing here today. So I'm here. My wife is here somewhere, Janessa. We have 5 children. We got a 6th one on the way. We have a quiver full, and we are multiplying by the grace of God. We took that verse seriously. And God is good. I've been fortunate to experience something that I didn't have growing up. And that's this idea of being a father and to, there's the privilege of that. I grew up in, I came from Puerto Rico when I came to Reading when I was about 7 years old. And I was a first generation Christian in my family. I praise God because he gave me ears to hear. And that was the spiritual ears, okay? And it just didn't happen. It was the power of prayer of people in my life. And I encourage you guys to, let's be people of prayer, because that's how movement starts for the kingdom of God. You know, and God's been showing me that before I speak, I like to speak. But before I speak, God's saying, I want you to pray. And it's such a powerful way, because it's not about my work. It's not about the organization's works that are here, but it's about where the Spirit of God is moving and where he is inviting us to be a part of. Amen? It's not man's movement. It's God's movement. And if I'm acting before I pray, then I might miss where the Spirit is moving. And so, I have a passion for the unreached. And that's because I am a Christian. It's that simple. There isn't anything different. There's not a secret sauce. It's not because I like to talk to people that I have a passion for the unreached, but because I've been saved by the grace of God. And because I want to read this message that comes straight from the Bible. It's a powerful verse that just inspires me, and I hope that it inspires you. I'm on, right? You guys can hear me? All right, cool. So this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 16 through 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, how many of you are in Christ? Let's go. All right. We'll listen up. The new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. Amen? And this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry. My what? My pack is here. Is it off?
There you go.
My man. Am I really on? So I went to school with Jared, and I used to bully him. What? You didn't believe me? No, I knew better than that. I love Jared. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you. All right. So the old is gone, and the new is here. This is from God. Let's not miss this. Who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Praise the Lord, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Let's go. So we're not only saved, praise God, but praise the Lord. We have a mission that God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Thank you, Lord. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God, this blows my mind, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for me and for you, so that in him we might become the righteousness of Christ. All right, I want to highlight something important here, that we're not only saved by his grace, praise the Lord, but we're simultaneously in a mission of reconciliation for the lost. All right? This is simultaneously. This is not one or the other. You automatically slap on the Jesus jersey as ambassadors, right? We like to be ambassadors of everything except Jesus. It's just the flesh, right? You know, I work for Martin Appliance. Let me slap on this shirt. Or I work for Byler Hydraulics or Paul B's, or I don't know what other Mennonite businesses are around here. But, you know, we proudly represent, we are ethical and we are honest and we are this and that. But how often are we slapping on the Jesus jersey above all that? Man, I'm an ambassador for Christ no matter what day it is, no matter what time it is, no matter if I'm at the grocery store or if I'm at work. Like, we are representing something bigger. And we have this beautiful invitation that we don't have to, we accept it if we want to. But I hope that we do because it's beautiful. So this morning, I'm talking about this idea of God's heart for the nations. This vision of God's heart for the nations. My prayer is that the Lord stirs my heart first and foremost, and that the Lord stirs our heart to the more that he has for us. Before I start, I'd like to share that I had the privilege of doing this in-depth training in regards to this idea of missions and the heart of God. And so a lot of the material that I'll be talking about today, I want to give credit to where credit is due. Eastern Mennonite Missions, a lot of you guys are probably familiar with that. I am a proud board member of EMM, and the Lord has shown me so many things. He's opened up my eyes as I've got to engage with God in that level in all nations. And through EMM, the specific material is called Interface by Simply Mobilizing here on the right side. So I just want to give credit where credit is due. It's been transformational in my life. And so today I want to give you a compelling message that God invites you to be on mission with him, .. Why? So that the nations might be saved. What an invitation. So that the nations might be saved. Now, I want to say that God doesn't need you. Sorry. You're not as important as you thought. God doesn't need you. As a matter of fact, he created the world by just speaking it into existence. So this idea of being invited to this great thing is not for him. I think God wants to do something in us. Let's dig into this a little bit. So today I want to highlight something important. This is our compass, the Bible. Okay, so today I want to highlight the Bible. I want to talk about missions, and I also want to talk about God's people and how these all intertwine. So if I were to ask you, and you're okay to talk, look, what's the Bible about? Just shout it out. Jesus, I love it. What else is the Bible about? God's love story. Yep, love it. The Bible is kind of like this big, right? It's a lot of pages. Depending on your font, if you can't see very well, your Bible's like twice the size. But those are all good answers. This is not a trick question. Well, kind of. But here's something that's encompassed. The book is about God on mission. The book is also about God on mission with his people. Manny, what are you talking about? All right, so let me break this down. So this idea of God on mission. So the Bible is about what God had planned and he purposed before the world was created and is now continuing to be outworked into its glorious fulfillment. We get a glimpse of this plan back from the beginning in the book of Genesis, and we then get a glimpse of this fulfillment or what's to come in the book of Revelations, chapters 20 and 21. And so I just want to highlight this because it just blew my mind when I actually saw this. So God's plan is in these couple pages here. And then this idea of the fulfillment is kind of like back here. And so all this middle part, right, that we see here, it's about God on mission with his people. So what does that tell me? That when we look at this book, there's something about this missional part that is in God's heart. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to know more. I want to know more about this. Like, what does this mean for me? So from Genesis 3 through Revelations 20, which is kind of like what I just highlighted, we see God on mission, bringing this end vision to a realization for eternity. So what about people? In Genesis chapter 12, we see that God chooses a man through whom all the nations will be blessed. This was consistent with why God made man in his likeness and image, with this idea to work together, to be involved in this thing that God just created. So in Genesis 2:5, we see that there was no shrub, no plant, for God had not sent rain, and there was no man to work the ground. Then we see later on that God asked Adam to name the animals, delegating his work, and actually giving dominion over the earth. And I was reminded recently that, you know, sometimes we look at work and we're just like, man, because of the fall, man, we gotta work. But work is a beautiful thing. I think about how God created the world, and then he invites us to co-create and to beautify and to ultimately do it together with him. And there's something special about that that God has invited us into. Then later on, we see the story of Abraham and God and this covenant that is really significant. Where a lot of us are familiar with it, but here we see Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord has said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. Let's say that together. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. All peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. There's so much there. Here's two parts to this. Number one, he said, I will bless you. So we see God blessing Abraham with a special blessing. And then we see the second part, that all of the earth will be blessed by you. These two main parts are found an astonishing over 300 times throughout the Bible. And that blew my mind. But we see this thing come through. Then we have peoples with an S. Let's all say S. I never had a preacher say that from the front, so I thought I would try it. So he says, let's say people. He says peoples, meaning a group of people that share a common culture and language. And, you know, right now we have over 230 countries, but over 16,000 peoples. Over 16,000, right? And some that are being discovered yet. And so when I hear this great work that's going on in the unreached, in the 1040 window, right, as I hear about all nations, Bible translations, right, bringing the word, bringing the life, this source, it excites me because there's work to be done. Then it says God will bless all peoples of the world through his chosen people, not apart from them. Through his chosen people, not out in the other church down the block. Us here. So there's a great significance to this covenant that we continue to see this thing coming back here to the significance of that. But not only in the Old Testament, but we see this theme flowing from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So following the fall, co-laboring with God means participating with God in his redemptive purpose. We're participating. Participating means that it's up to you if you want to participate or not. But we have this invitation to participate in something that's great and something that we were made for. So in Genesis 22, verse 18, here says, "And through your offspring, seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed." Galatians 3:16, "The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed," not plural, but seed singular, as in the seed of Christ that came. And then Galatians 3:29, this is undeniably here, that if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. So we can't sit here and say, well, that was Abraham. We, as we're adopted into this identity of being the children of Christ, we are adopted into this great promise and invitation that God has given to us. And if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what else to say. I'm going to leave. I don't know. I don't have anything else. Like, if this doesn't excite you, I encourage you to pray for the Lord, for his spirit to open up your heart, because I just can't. I'm just, it excites me so much. Anyways, so clarifying this mission of God's people. I want to clarify this mission, and I want to reiterate a very important text from Matthew. And this is the Great Commission. And I feel like it's one of those popular verses that we know, but so under obeyed. Oh, yeah, the Great Commission, like, yeah, God, you know, he's going up and he's talking to these people and he's saying, hey, go out and teach and baptize and show people, disciple people. And we know it, but we're so busy just doing church, playing church, doing the traditional things. You know, sometimes we laugh at Catholics, but we're sometimes doing the same thing. Just saying it. And so I'm always praying that, Lord, I want to read these texts, but bring them to life. We have a left brain, and then we have a right side of the brain. And then your left brain is the data, the analytical, the factual part. And sometimes we read scripture in that way. We're looking at it, and it's just facts. It's data. And then we just check it off, and then we're saying, all right, what's for breakfast? But God is calling us to be whole brain believers. The right side of our brain is the relational, is the imaginative, is the vision. It's just a, wow, what is God going to do today? Man, what's he up to today? Man, I woke up, I had breath. Man, God has equipped us with gifts, talents, and passions. What is he up to today? And I just want to be listening. Man, and I just want to be seeing, and I don't want to miss it. And this is us engaging with his word. And so I have a great book. It's called The Other Half of the Church. I highly encourage it. I've been transformed as I think about, you know, this duties of being a believer. But he doesn't want duty. He wants delight. Amen? That anything that we do is from an overflowing of just a lot of Jesus in us. And so anyways, The Other Half of the Church. Highly recommend that book. And so anyways, what am I doing here? All right, the Great Commission, we're so familiar with it, yet and a simple act of obedience like Abraham had will go a long way in what God wants to do through us. Here we see this thing about, you know, this three different categories of reaching all the nations, peoples and people groups. Mark 13:10 says, and the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. The gospel needs to be preached in all the nations. And there's statistics that would say that if every believer in the world would choose one, in about a generation, the whole world will know who Christ is. And so this idea that there's people that are available to partner with God, but we realize that the laborers are few. It's saying the harvest is ready. And so here, we see this invitation that the gospel needs to be preached, and we have a part to play into that. And what are we doing about that? But what are we doing about it? Is it just facts? Is it just data? Like, how are we engaging with this idea and knowing that you can change that? We know that he's not going to come back till everybody has heard, and we get to expedite that. Just a thought. So evangelizing reached nations, people groups. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And I'm so gracious that he is. Being a witness of Christ's coming kingdom to every nation, people group, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. If you just listen to that and you're like, cool beans. Yeah, I heard that before. And if it doesn't stir your heart, pray about it. There's something in the heart of God for the reconciliation of the nations that he wants you to be a part of. And when I say nations, plural, we're in a nation here. It's not just overseas. We're just saying, hey, I want to be available, God, wherever it is that you have me. He doesn't want ability, he wants availability. And so I always got to come back, right? Because I think that the kingdom of God is advanced based on what I do. Does that sound familiar? The kingdom of God is advanced based on what I do, based on my efforts, me doing stuff. And sometimes that just could get tiring because he doesn't want more effort. He wants more Jesus in my life. More surrender, more of a spirit-led movement versus a Manny-led movement. Those are short living. So I want to talk about just my life, right? What about you, Manny? What do you do? How does this all relate? Why are you so passionate? Chill out, okay? So this idea of missions is heart is so dear to my heart because I am a product of that. And you are a product of that. Just so you know, not everybody was born a believer. You're a product of missions, and I hope that you're grateful that somebody shared the gospel, that somebody discipled you. But now, what are you going to do with that? Are you just going to be like, great, yeah, thank you, God, just give it to me. Who are we pouring out to? If we're saying we're like Jesus, and we saw that Jesus walked with 12, who are we? I mean, just one. Just one. Pray about it. Lord, who is it that you want me to walk with? Is his mission not yours to start? He's already giving you guys low-hanging fruit somewhere in your life. How do I know this? I mean, how do you know? Because the harvest is plentiful. But the workers are few. If anything, there's plenty to go around. So pray on it, man. Like, just pray, Lord, who is it? Just start with one. And hopefully God brings more. But, you know, this, we got to get you an entry level somehow. So, I want to share just personally this idea of missions. And I just want to share my context, right? So I have the privilege let me see if I have it here. Here we go. So I own Salt and Light Cafe. How many of you guys are familiar with Salt and Light Cafe in the city of Reading? Okay, that's it? Come on, guys. You got to get out of your shells. Kidding. I want to reward that. God owns Salt and Light Cafe. I'm just a manager. But anyways, God started this thing. God stirred our hearts in our community through a time of prayer and fasting as a church. And we're saying, God, what are you doing here in our context? And what needs to happen? And so God continued to put this thing in our hearts about, man, we need a community space where we can engage non-believers. We need a space where it's a common ground. People are not scared because they're coming into a church. And we just want to meet people where they're at. And so I said, this sounds cool. What's next? Cricket, cricket. So it was this great idea. I was like, all right. And then it's just like, okay, what's next? And so we needed somebody to pioneer this idea of praying into it, you know, doing some prayer walking, casting vision to what could happen out of this. And through all this time together, and I had the privilege of leading it. I'll tell you guys, though, that I had no intentions of starting a coffee shop. As a matter of fact, I don't even know how to make coffee yet. I don't think that I'm sad to say that. I don't think that I'm ashamed. we've been open for 3 years. I just don't want to mess up my coffee, so I have our ladies make it at the coffee shop. But anyways, I like to say I never had a passion for coffee. I like it. But this is just a testimony of what God can do. I'm a real estate dude. I'm an investor. I'm in real estate. And here God is saying, man, I know you're doing this, but I also want you to partner with me here in this area. And so God is just funny like that. Because I'm over here, you know, we're leading a group, a coalition group that I called it. And we're just prayer, you know, I'm saying, guys, we're just committing to praying, all right? Don't get scared. I'm not asking you guys to pull your funds together and start something crazy. We just want you guys to pray. And so, you know, we had a group of about 15 people that committed to praying, walking down the streets of Reading, just praying and da-da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden, God brings this space that's about 2 blocks away from my house. They're in our downtown in Reading. And that's the moment that God put something in my heart, and he said, Manny, it's you that I want you to be the investor and to cast vision for this space. And I was like, all right, so how do I break this to my wife? Just one more thing for us to a business endeavor or anything like that. I thrive off of that. My wife's just like, you got to chill. But anyways, I said, babe, this is the Spirit of God. You can't say no. And so we prayed and God gave peace, but he gave peace because we said, Lord, if you want us to do this, you're going to have to confirm it. And you're going to have to bring the people because I don't have margin for that. And so God brought people that when I shared this vision of what God could do, God just stirred their hearts. Kind of like what's been going on here. We're casting vision to what God is doing and the potential. And he just wants people to say, yes, man, I love to be a part of that. And he does the work. And so anyways, we have this coffee shop in Reading. This is a God-led business. I just show up and I say, man, let's pray for the Spirit of God to move. And one of the things that was happening as I was there drinking my latte is I was connecting with people that were coming in. And as I was connecting with people, I don't know why I'm surprised. When you pray for something, God delivers, right? If it builds his kingdom, he's going to answer. And so I noticed that God, brought this gentleman who I knew from social media, and he was a real estate investor like myself. It was like, oh, I know George. Man, this is a great guy. And so we're there, and we're talking about life. And you know when the Spirit of God just nudges you to say something weird? And you're just kind of like, you know, this doesn't seem like the right place to, we're talking about real estate. And now all of a sudden, God is just bringing things like, you know, invite this guy to a Bible study. And you're just kind of like, we're not even talking about that God. But you know, there's an act of obedience like Abraham did that activated the Spirit of God. There's something about obeying what God lays in you that activates the Spirit of God to move in your context as we are conduits to what God is doing. And so, anyways, here talking to George, and then God's just kind of putting this in my heart. And I was like, man, we should sit down and just talk about life. And who knows, maybe even talk about God. And he was like, you know what? Man, I've been wanting to get closer to God, but I'm just not quite sure what that looks like. And I was just kind of like, God, I'm sorry, God, I doubted you. But this is God, right? And I said, all right, let's go, man, sitting over coffee, and this is great, and we're talking. And then all of a sudden, we agreed to doing a weekly Bible study, which is amazing. And then we discovered that, I discovered too, I'm just along for the ride, and I'm saying, I don't know what God's going to do this morning, but you know, all of a sudden we're talking about the Bible, and so we're having a Bible study there at the coffee shop, and so, you know, a guy or two are overhearing, and then all of a sudden we're kind of like, what if we invite a person here, a person or two, and what if we invite other people? And so, mind you, this is all new. I didn't have this great strategic 10-year plan to say how we're going to do this. I'm not saying don't strategize. But what is the Spirit of God doing that's new and fresh? And so we're just positioning ourselves to say, all right, what's next? And so suddenly we started inviting people, and God just continues to bring people. This is an image from, I don't know how many months ago, but we've been having our Bible study for over 2 years, and I was looking through our WhatsApp chat, and we've had probably 60 men or more. I lost track. I had to delete some. It's been a while. But, you know, over 60 men that have been a part of this movement that is the Spirit of God. It's not Manny's movement. This is the Spirit of God's movement. But I just came along and I said, all right, God, all right, what's next? What are we doing next? And it's been amazing to see. I call this the appetizer. This is the appetizer. You know, this is just a low entry. Hey, come in. We're men here looking to grow. And what better way to grow than looking at the Word of God to know and to learn from our Creator how we are to function. And so anyways, there's a hunger for that because we were created to relate with our Creator. And so anyways, I just want to praise God because He's created just kingdom connections. Men of all places, you know, from all sorts of walks, homeless men that have strayed away from God, men that just are learning, right? They're wet behind the ears, men that are solid in their faith, but man, they want this Bible study because it's not just sitting there listening to a sermon, but man, we engage in the Bible. We want to live this out. And so anyways, I want to praise God because He's moving. And this gentleman here on the lower right side, that's my... All right, that tells me I have an hour yet. So, no, I'm just kidding. We do have some time yet. So, this gentleman, his name is Frankie, and I've been working with Frankie for about 3 years in real estate, and this is through the real estate side, and we're doing business, right? He's doing my work and all that. And then God put something in my heart that said, hey, you're already connecting with this guy. How about you ask him about his life? Why does that sound bizarre, right? Sometimes we're like, all right, we work closely with people at work or in different areas, or we continue to engage this person or we bump into each other. Like, could there be something there, right? And so God put that in my heart, and Frankie was just super clutch in opening our cafe, just helping us get some things together. And one time I just happened to ask him, yo, so Frankie, tell me about yourself, man. Like, you know, and that just opened up just an incredible relationship that he grew up in the, you know, just bouncing from house to house in the foster care system. A lot of brokenness, a lot of just sadness in his life. And but there was a family with the last name Stauffers. But I don't think it's anyone from here. There's a Mennonite family that he got to be a part of in their household that he says they were different. And there was something about them that they would just respond differently when they would do bad things. And so there were seeds that were deposited in the life of Frankie that when I met him, I had the privilege to water. And we're just doing business, and he saw, like, man, Manny just does business differently, and man, Manny's passionate about this. Anyways, all that to say that because of God's redemptive work and just me saying yes, like, man, like, Frankie gave his life to the Lord about a year and a half ago. He was baptized. He's on fire for God. And there's no turning back. He's a faithful member of our church, and I was going to ask him to come here and share, but as I looked, I was like, I'm sorry, Frankie, you know, I invited you, but I got a lot to say, so maybe next time. I will, though, share about you, Frankie. So anyways, I just want to say God is doing stuff in our context. So if we first say yes to where we're at, and we see what God wants to do through us. So there's the coffee shop. I also want to highlight in terms of where we're at, that it's just about what the Spirit of God is doing in just generic connections. Nothing grand. It's just where God has strategically placed us. God has strategically placed you in areas of connections. Where you live, where you work, where you play, where you study, even where you worship. And so we say, what does God want to do with these areas of connections? And how can I partner with him in this great thing? And so in the same block of our coffee shop, there's my barber, right? And I was like, man, we want to be a light here in our block, in our community. Like, let me stop at this barber. I used to cut my hair. And then I got tired of it. And so I was like, let me go to this barber. And here I met Lou, which is this guy here. And Lou was in prison, I think, for about 15 years. And he became a Muslim in the prison system, which is common. Now, when we were there, you know, getting my haircut, the evangelistic side of me came out like, yeah, man, I love Jesus. He was like, oh, I respect that. I'm a Muslim. And he was like, all right, this guy's cutting my hair. I better not say anything bad. He's going to give me a Nike sign in the back or something. I don't know what. And so I was like, man, I literally just kind of was like, all right, God, what are you going to do? He's a Muslim. I'm a Christian. Now what? We're sitting in this chair here together. But we still had conversations, and he was open, and he was like, all right, well, let's respect each other. We were able to have respectable conversations about each other's religion, and it was amazing. And I like to say that about a year ago, you know, he came and he said, Manny, I want to go to your church. And I want to go to your church. I want to hear more about this God. And I was just like, I just broke down and cried because that's the Spirit of God. Bring in reconciliation when we don't deserve it. And I was just there showing up. I didn't know what I was going to say. I don't know if we were going to get into a fight because I'm a Christian and he's a Muslim. Like, anyways, I just want to praise God that he's been coming closer to the Lord. It's been a little bit since I've been in contact with him. He just recently messaged me this week. He moved his barbershop to a different location. But I want to say that seeds have been planted. And he says that some plant, some water, but who produces the increase? Amen. So I just say, God, man, I might have just planted, but I'm not going to stress it. Lord, if you want me to connect with Lou, just give me the, I want to be faithful where he has me. And so anyways, I just want to share that even in your local barber, God is moving. I also want to share internationally. I had the privilege to go to Bulgaria through EMM. And, you know, there was a posture of pilgrimage going into this journey saying, what is God doing here and what does he want to do in my heart? And so anyways, I had the privilege to go there and to make kingdom connections that I take here to this day. So this gentleman here on the left side, when we were sitting here talking, he wasn't a believer. His dad was a pastor and he had church hurt. And then through our trip here, it was about four of us from the United States, a couple pastors. We went there, and there was something special that God did in Ivailo's life. His name's Ivailo.
that he just walked away from this trip saying, wow, there's a stirring in my heart. And one of the things that we did there in Bulgaria is we went down to Greece, Philippi, right, where Lydia was baptized. And there was actually a baptism that we did there, and the Lord just stirred his heart, man. And so this last year, like, he just wanted to be baptized because the Lord just laid it in his heart, and he gave his life to the Lord, and God is doing amazing things. Praise God. And so then I also had the privilege of going to Peru and meet these first-generation pastors that you see here. First generations, because a faithful missionary said, I'm going to go. And so it was just, I was wrecked just to hear the stories of these men who were discipled by this gringo. And here they are faithfully leading churches in these different areas. And I began to develop this close connection with one of the pastors there. He's kind of like the overseeing deacon. And I just want to say that because of these international connections, me showing up and just saying, God, I don't know what you're up to, but I just want to be here, and I want to see what your spirit has for me and for the people here. I've been having these ongoing conversations for years with these people, and I've been able to support them, and they've been able to support me. They've been encouraging to me. And so not only am I here in our context, but I serve the God of all nations. And so maybe that means, man, there's something about me and being connecting with what he's doing around the world. And this is Frankie. He just recently went to Kenya, the gentleman that I was just talking about that gave his life to the Lord. So whoever discipled me was discipled by somebody. They discipled me. I discipled Frankie. And Frankie's looking for ways to disciple onward. Amen? Let's go. This is what we're called to do. A movement of disciple making, and God does that through us. Missions is God's primary pathway. Well, not primary. It's a pathway to our maturity. A lot of us want to grow. Man, I want to be more like Jesus, but if we're not making disciples, if we're not on mission with God, then I can't fully mature in Christ. This is pivotal. I can say I'm a Christian, but if I'm not on mission with him, am I really? Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That means that my priority is not my comfort. My priority is not having a nice car or a nice house or a nice whatever. My priority is to deny myself and to take up the cross and to be attentive to where the Holy Spirit is leading. For whoever wants to save his life here will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. Amen? I gotta shut this party down. All right, so God invites you to be on mission with him so that the nations might be saved. And the question for us to just wrestle with is, will I accept this invitation? Will I accept this invitation? I leave that with you guys. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And God, today we just come. We know that you are the one who draws us near. And so God, today we just pray that you would open our hearts, open our minds. God, we want to be transformed. And we understand that that happens through your spirit and through your word. And so, Lord, today as we just looked over your word and your heart for mission, your heart to bring reconciliation to the world, and this idea that you invite us to be a part of that, may we just say yes. God, I just pray that you would prompt us. And I know that you don't call us to something that you're not going to be with us to do. And so we rely on you with that. We're grateful for all these fantastic organizations and missions that love you and desire to advance your kingdom. May you continue to bring the faithful workers, Lord, because the harvest is ready. We love you, we thank you, and we pray that you continue to prompt us to be on mission with you. We pray this in your name. Amen.